people, listen up. It's a fucking lockdown right now.
Come off it. We're not in a prison drama, are we?
We are in a prison drama. This is the fucking Shawshank Redemption, right? But with more tunneling through shit, no fucking redemption.
Screw you guys. I'm going home.
Sheriff, this is no time to panic. This is the perfect time to panic.
It's not the end of the world.
I ain't going with you. I'll go with Child.
Hey, fuck you, Palmer!
I'm going with you!
Who says I want you going with me?
All right, cut the bullshit!
Has the whole world gone crazy?
Hey!
Everybody calm the fuck down.
Hello, and welcome to another episode of Holmes Movies Recommends, where we've been recommending films for us to watch during these days of dealing with COVID-19 and other craziness that's happening out in the world that is both depressing and, yeah, anyways. So, well, my name is Anders Holmes, and I am the host of the Holmes Movies podcast, along with my brother Adam, who's on Skype in the United States of America.
Yeah, we should almost be using Zoom for this, shouldn't we? To be on trend. Anyway, here I am. It's 2020. It's nearly June, but we are still recommending films to watch because that's all there is to do. Still, although I would also recommend going outside; it's very therapeutic. But if you are going to be inside, I think you should watch a film, and I think you should watch the films we recommend because. Because we've probably got better taste than you, let's be honest. So what are you recommending today?
So I've been watching a bunch of movies. I think it's been quite...
Really? You've been watching a bunch of films?
No, sorry. No. I was in the midst of like saying something and I thought, like, no, I scratched that. I'm just going to go back and rewind. So I think because I have...
What's happening? Are you having an incident?
No, I'm just... I was doing
have the... you had your medication today?
Quiet. So I've bought a lot of films over the years, but sometimes when you've had, you know, when you're sitting at home and you feel like, oh, I want to watch something, and then you have like all these selection of films, and then you sort of get into a panic because you don't know which one to watch, and then you eventually are just falling into a coma and then just end up watching something you've seen so many times, or just binging a TV show on Netflix or any other streaming service or anything like that. So there was one weekend where I watched nothing but Kurosawa films, and then I've watched a few like exploitation films and things like that. So I've been trying to sort of, you know, spend this time while in lockdown and while sort of dealing with the fact that the world is still a bit like crazy and mad and everything like that. So I've, you know, tried to, you know, force myself to watch these movies and check them out. And there have been some films that I've been sort of waiting to sort of been recommending. So this has been a lot of fun. So the film that I'm going to recommend is a Western. This was a first time watch for me. This is a spaghetti Western with a French twist.
What's this French for spaghetti? Spaghetti Western.
Yeah, so this was a French Italian co-production. It shot in Almeria, Spain. It was directed by Robert Hossein, who starred in Rififi, directed by Jules Dassin, and he plays he also directed the film as well, and his father, Andre Hossein, does the music for this film. And there's also a song by Scott Walker, who was quite well known at this time.
Ooh, yeah, Scott Walker.
Yeah, so it's pretty fair to say that you and I are big fans of Westerns.
Yes. Yeah. What is this film? What is it?
So the movie is called Cemetery Without Crosses.
Oh.
So, yeah, I bought this... I don't know, I didn't really know anything about the movie. I was in a DVD shop and I saw it and I was like, ooh, I quite like the cover of this. It's a Western, looks kind of cool, a bit spaghetti Western and things like that. And so I bought it and then I didn't really know anything about the movie. It was a dual format DVD box from Arrow Videos, and Arrow Videos do a lot of like horror and things like that. So I really
like... Yeah, they're good for stuff that's a little bit less well known, yeah.
Yeah, I like their sort of the picks that they have, and I really like spaghetti Westerns. I think they're I wouldn't really call them a guilty pleasure. I think the style of those films really resonates with me, and I really like the music and, you know, the majority of those films Ennio Morricone did, and then Louis Bacalov did a lot of them as well. So
yeah, I think maybe one or two would Bruno Nicolai.
Nicolai,
did a few. Yeah, there's some great spaghetti westerns are, I think, often seen as like Sergio Leone, and then a lot of crap. And it's actually not true. Like, there are a lot of really, I mean, there are some crap ones. I actually think the first Django movie isn't that great, but the there are some really, really excellent spaghetti westerns out there. And if you like, you know, because I think the thing about spaghetti westerns is they really, they take the things that are great about the Western and they push us into the modern era, because they realize that, what do people like about Westerns? They like shootouts, and they like the, you know, they like the sort of operatic nature of them. But they aren't, international audiences maybe aren't going to be as prone to seeing the American frontier story through the same lens that Americans do, that sort of misty-eyed, nostalgic Manifest Destiny lens. It's like, actually, it's a story of colonialism and genocide. And so what they do is they apply a sort of European cynicism to it, which I think is also something that Peckinpah does really successfully. And they say, well, what do we want? What do we give them? Well, we give them really cool gunfights. We focus a lot on the equipment, like all the guns get focused on, which is quite American, I suppose. But they invent this, or they reinvent a genre, and it's so much fun, and you don't have to worry so much about the ethical implications of watching. You know, we say when you watch The Searchers and you're dealing with a lot of, you know, obviously this is a film about racism that's also highly racist. But then you watch these films, you don't, generally speaking, they don't feature indigenous people. It's taking place in an entirely mythic and imagined Western. It's filmed in Spain, so you just get to watch it, have complete guilt-free fun.
Yeah, but this, I mean, like I mentioned, this is a French-Italian co-production, so it has all these. It has all these kind of elements. It is like, at the end of the film, there's like a tribute dedicated to Sergio Leone. And I think he actually directed one scene in the movie. So it's like a nice little tribute to him, but done in a very, I would say, unconventional way. It's a very unconventional spaghetti Western. So it stars, as I mentioned, Robert Hussein, who's in Rififi, and he plays a gunfighter.
Who does he play in Rififi?
I can't remember. One of the main heist guys. I can't remember the name exactly.
Is he the younger guy?
I think he's the younger guy. I think he's the last one who, spoiler alert, I think he's the guy who has the kid that the old guy goes to save.
Right. Yeah.
I think he might be that guy. He also directs the film as well. I don't know if he directed another film as well. So he plays Manuel, who I refer to as the man with the black leather glove, because every time he's about to go to a gunfight, he puts on one leather glove. Which I thought was quite hilarious. So he's very much
also a reference to Jack Palance in Shane.
Yes. And he's a guy who I would say is a man who is haunted and stuck in the past. And his residence is a ghost town in the desert. And he spends most of his time in like the ruined casino and plays around with the roulette table. And a former flame of his comes back to his town and she's called Maria, played by Michelle Mercier.
They're always called Maria in spaghetti westerns. Every single female character is called Maria.
Yeah, so she has just lost her husband after he stole some gold from a land baron named Will Rogers. And Will Rogers had forced him and
Will Rogers?
Yeah. Yeah, Will.
Okay. Right, yeah, carry on.
Will Rogers. And he forced him and others to sell their livestock. In the beginning of the movie, there's like this really long horse chase sequence, and then the credits start playing. It's like a really long, like dragged out sequence where like Will Rogers is chasing her husband and
do you know who Will Rogers was? He was like the cowboy performer, you know, the sort of state. He was Roy Rogers's dad, I think, or brother or something.
Yeah.
So just imagining this guy in like a bright blue, like with a big smile and a guitar, you know.
Yeah. So yeah, Maria. So she loses her husband to this man, and she comes back to Manuel and says like, I want you to take revenge for me against these people. And then there's like a little bit of a backstory with the three of them. It's not really like spoken about as much. It's like really alluded to. It's this film, it has a very long, slow, dragged out style. It's very like you become to feel very engaged with the relationship with the characters. And there's scenes where Maria and Manuel just look at each other from like a far away distance, and they don't even like speak to each other, and nothing's being said, and you just kind of get like the the history of these characters and the emotional turmoil that these two people have now that they've reunited. And the movie does rely a lot on its very melancholic, nihilistic tone and scenes of not much dialogue. It has, like, many scenes of very minimalist dialogue. It very focuses a lot on mood. And, you know, it's you know, for someone, you know, who's a fan of spaghetti westerns, who, you know, expects like a gunfight every 5 seconds, there's not really a lot of that. It focuses a lot on the relationships and the mood and the tone of the film and everything like that. I'm not saying there are some scenes of gunplay and it's quite satisfying, but it relies a lot on visuals and mood, and it makes for a very, very sort of emotionally somber film. And it just makes it feel very unique and captivating in a very strange kind of way. And I'm very happy that Arrow Video have like a copy of this film in their sort of collection.
It sounds great. I really, really want to watch it.
It's good fun.
So do you think it's available to stream as well?
I'm not so sure if it's available to stream. I think you could probably buy it or rent it on iTunes. I think it's quite hard. I don't know when they released this DVD as part of their collection. I think they released it a while ago. I don't know if it's still like available, but I think if you're a fan of westerns that focuses on like nice visuals and, you know, interesting look at characters and everything like that, this is, you know, the film for you. And there's some great music. The Scott Walker song plays in certain moments in the film, and it fits the feeling of the story and stuff. It's a very well made western that sort of, you know, does the spaghetti western genre in a very different way while still, you know, paying tribute to those who were making films before that in that sort of style.
Perfect.
So yeah, that's my recommendation. Cemetery Without Crosses.
All right then. See you next time.
Bye.